All right. Good morning, Catalyst. I've spoken. My name is Lawrence Hagen. If you don't know me, I spoke once before in late summer, but I had a handheld mic. So this year, this time I have a lapel. So I'll be much more expressive with my hands. I often actually get people don't know what ethnicity I am, and the thing I get, I'm half Asian, half Caucasian, I'm Hapa. And the thing that I get the most actually is Italian. And I do think I kind of speak with my hands, so I'm free to do that today. Good morning, it's an awesome opportunity to be here with you all today in this last Sunday of 2021, and want to acknowledge, the Brett Favres, the Cal Ripken Juniors, the Carl Malones that we have here with us today. These are the true Iron Men of Catalyst here with us, right? We braved the cold, weathered the sugar crash from yesterday, and here we are worshiping the Lord together. Today is our young adult service, and I just want to say to the young adults, it's been a really special opportunity for me to be a part of this body, to be a part of this community. And it's changed a lot in the 5 years that I've been here, and it's really been a blessing to me and to Mindy and now to Hudson to do life with you all and to walk with you all and to be made into Christ likeness. Thank you to leadership for giving us this opportunity to lead today. I think it's a really cool thing that we get to lead the congregation in our corporate worship together on the last Sunday of 2021. So I'm really excited to share a message with you today, but even more excited that after I share, we're going to have a testimony from our very own young adult, Rihanna Machida. So we're very excited for that. Mindy and I are not homeowners, but last year we went through the process, we were looking pretty seriously, and we got far enough along that we figured out what the whole process would be, right? The however many steps it is. And we had even gotten far enough along that we were ready and had somebody lined up if we in fact needed to do a home inspection. Now, for anyone who's bought a house, you know how important the home inspection is. You get one last opportunity as the buyer to see everything that might be wrong with the home. And at that point, you get to make your decision, do I want this or not? And from everything I've heard, right, there's a laundry list of what will show up, and it will be long, no matter what the home is. But there's one thing more than any that if it shows up, you really want to rethink whether this is the home that you want to buy. That's foundation issues. The foundation of a home is the strength on which the entire structure lies. As the foundation starts to break down, cracks can form in walls, doors start to stick, windows can shatter, the floor can slope, and the roof will flex. And ultimately, if the foundation fails, the home becomes unlivable. And just like a house, every one of us sits on a foundation. And what our foundation is, what the foundation of our life is life's most important question. So let me read the passage for today. I'll be reading from Matthew 7, 24 to 27, and this is out of the ESV. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Let me pray. Father God, we pray that you come and you invade this space. We pray that you are here with us and blessing us as we worship together corporately as Catalyst. For the last Sunday of 2021. I pray that that as I speak today, these words are not mine but yours, God, that you are moving in this place and you are touching and speaking to our hearts that we might stand on you firmly as our foundation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So you've probably seen it in the news, but recently the company Facebook changed its name. So it changed its name, not of the application or the website, but the parent company changed its name from Facebook to Meta. And they did this to capitalize on something called the metaverse. And now, I've heard this term very seldomly, you know, over the last year, maybe 2 years, but over the last month and a half, 2 months, I feel like it's been everywhere, right? Articles, everywhere I look, metaverse, metaverse, metaverse. The definition of the metaverse is a virtual reality space in which users can interact with computer-generated environments and other users. Simply, the metaverse is virtual reality or the digital world. But the thing that's changing today about the metaverse is that it's becoming easier and easier, not for people to just interact with it, but for people to exist in it. And you know, as I thought about that, very quickly for me, I was like, okay, well that's not real, right? This is real, this physical reality here, this is what's real, that's not real. But you know, this is an excerpt from a New York Times article about the realistic future of human flight. It might be assumed that the flying machine, which will really fly, might be evolved by the combined and continuous efforts of mathematicians and mechanics in 1 million to 10 million years. To the ordinary man, it would seem as if the effort might be employed more profitably. This article was written in the New York Times talking about what the potential for flight was for humanity on October 9th, 1903. On December 17th, 1903, 2.5 months later, the Wright brothers took their first flight. What was impossible was always thought to be impossible until one day it was possible. Our definition of reality here on Earth, what the Earth, what we define as real, is always changing. And you know, to drive this point home a little further, I wanted to ask a question. I'm not singling anybody out, just to get, you know, varying perspectives, life experience, we'll call it, from our audience. So would you raise your hand if you here did not take a computer with you when you left for college? So when you went to school, when you went to college, who here did not take a computer with them? Okay, now you can quickly put your hands down. So that was, right, I don't know, maybe half of the audience. Now, who here thinks it's weird or strange or unreasonable that college students take a laptop with them when they go to school today? Nobody, right? What was once not possible is now the fully accepted reality of the world. Where it wasn't possible to take a computer, it wasn't reasonable or wasn't needed to take a computer to college, now it's really impossible to get a secondary, a higher level education without a computer. I think it's impossible to do high school or grade school without a computer today. And so the point being that our reality here on Earth is always changing. You know, back to the metaverse, I was talking with Pastor Barry and he actually pointed me in the direction of an article that said the first real estate transaction has actually occurred in the metaverse. Somebody paid real money, real in quotes, cryptocurrency, but I think Pastor Barry is giving a cryptocurrency message next year, so stay tuned. Paid real money for a space, some kind of space that only exists in the digital world. I don't even know, it's hard to fathom, I don't even know what the value of that is, what the use of that is, what the purpose. But I also realize that while that seems candidly ridiculous to me today, that decades from now, maybe even years from now, it may not seem ridiculous to me. In fact, decades from now or years from now, I may even at some point decide that that is a wise or valuable thing to look into, buying real estate in the metaverse. And you know, Mindy, we'll talk about that before we do, but what seems ridiculous today may seem reasonable or even advisable in the future, because the world that we live in, the earthly reality that we live in, is always changing. You know, Jesus says the house in the parable didn't fall because the house had been founded on the rock. The parable, as it's told, is a parable about construction, right? It's the building of a house. And in construction terms, the definition of foundation is the lowest load-bearing part of a building, typically below ground level. Now, there's two takeaways from this definition. One, you can't always see a building's foundation. And two, the foundation bears the full load, the full weight, the totality of the thing that is founded on it. And is this not like the foundation of our lives? You know, I think the truth here is that each of our lives has something that is ultimately keeping everything else up. And for yourself, that might not even be easy to see what that thing is, right? Is it the relationship that we have with Jesus? Is it our spouse? Is it our children? Is it our work, our passions, our hobbies? But whatever that thing is, it is bearing the full weight of everything that that sits on it. And if that thing were to crumble, I think that it would leave everything built on it in a free fall. It would leave that those things feeling like they're falling. And the difference is that Jesus is saying, he is the only foundation that won't fail. He's the only foundation that won't crumble. So the question that Matthew 7 begs of us is, what is the foundation of our lives? That's the question we have to ask ourselves from this parable. You know, what is it that you come back to looking for stability when you've had a really bad day at work, when you've had a fight with your spouse, or God forbid, when you've had to watch your children suffer? What is it that gives you strength to pull the covers off and throw your legs over the bed when the alarm goes off in the morning? What is it that gives you the courage to interact with people who have hurt you or who scare you, who frustrate you, or who disregard you? What is it that gives us identity and purpose? And what is it that makes us feel like our lives matter? You know, I think these questions point us in the direction of what it is that is our foundation. And we can make anything the foundation of our lives. But Jesus is telling us he's the only foundation that won't fail. Even good things, things that are good, family, financial security, children, spouse, even catalysts, right? Even this church. At some point, they will fail us. And when they do, the things that we've built on them that are relying on the stability of that thing will fall. Like I said earlier, our earthly reality here is ever-changing. What was true yesterday may be false today. What was impossible today may be possible tomorrow. But the truth is that Jesus doesn't change. Hebrews 13, 8 and 9 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Jesus is the lighthouse amongst the moving tides of an ever-changing world. And I think, isn't that exactly what life feels like, right? Tides that go out and then come back in. Tides that go out and then come back in. Always leaving the shoreline different than it was. The shoreline never being the same. The sand under our feet different one day to the next. The realities of today are exactly as it says in Hebrews. They're strange teaching. But in his glorious, unchanging nature, Jesus says, let me be your foundation. So I think that there's two ways that Jesus can be our foundation. And the first is as our temporal foundation. And what I don't mean is temporary, but temporal as in relating to time and really relating to life, day-to-day life here on earth. With Christ as our foundation in day-to-day life, we can stand firmly knowing that he will see us through this life no matter what the circumstances. He's our protector and our provider. And what sounds true is Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You know, but what does it actually look like to make Jesus the foundation of our day-to-day life? I think that it's too simplistic to take this metaphor and say, right, we're all on one foundation. We're either standing on Jesus or our spouse is our foundation or our children or our work, because life isn't that easily organized. It's not so cleanly boxed. It's not black or white, right? Everything is a shade of gray in our life. And so to further the house metaphor, I think it's more like, you know, our life, the house of our life is continuously being refurbished or remodeled or expanded on. And each decision we make, where we can go this way or we can go that way, it's like a nail being set, or the frame of a wall being put up, or a post being driven into the ground. And I think with each decision, we have an opportunity to drive that post into the rock, or to drive that post into the sand. And I think as we pursue Christ's foundation in these decisions year by year, what we find is that more and more of our life becomes built on the rock. And when the shaking comes, when the winds blow, the pieces of our house, of our life, that feel most shook, that feel like they're gonna fall, and then sometimes do fall, are those pieces that are not standing on Jesus, right? Where Jesus is not the foundation of whatever we're holding back. And I think this is the process of sanctification of a believer, right? Day after day, week after week, year after year, with each decision, with each nail that we drive, seeing, are we driving this nail on the rock, or are we building on the sand? But more importantly than our temporal foundation, Jesus Christ is the foundation of our eternity. You know, not only is earthly reality always changing, but ultimately it will pass away. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." One day the veil will be pulled back. We will pass, or Jesus will come back, and only the Lord will remain. And in that moment, it will be abundantly clear to us. There will be no question that only the people, only the things who are founded on the rock will remain. Everything else will be set aside from the Lord. And the foundation, this eternal foundation, is set for everyone who has put their faith in Jesus. And if you haven't yet given your life to Jesus and you're uncertain of your eternal foundation, this is the most important question that we can ask ourselves. This is the most important question in your life. What is your eternal foundation, and will it last? In closing, when I was in college, it was a really, really exciting time to be surrounded, you know, as a 20-year-old, by a bunch of ambitious and brilliant young people that I got to call my friends. And it was incredibly inspiring for me. And, you know, I loved those first couple years of college to be challenged and to grow in, you know, as an adult, as a young man. But I realized that after a couple years, really my first 2 years, I had started to dream, I had started to picture, I had started to hope for and really work for what I'll call a life of achievement. And I was on a specific trajectory that I really wanted. You know, I had this picture of my life where I lived in New York or another really big city. I wore suits to work every day and worked on the highest floor of the biggest building, which is really, really ironic now, given my working situation of only sweatpants. You know, and in this picture I had, I felt really important, and I achieved. I continuously achieved. But after my sophomore year, I felt the not-so-gentle tug that we've all felt at different times in our life of the Lord calling us to open our hearts to what it is that He really wants for us. And there were a lot of different things that happened in that time. It was really like a 2 to 3 year stretch of my life. There were a lot of different things, but one of the most impactful things that God set for me in that season was that He led me on a 2.5 week short-term mission trip to Brazil after my sophomore year of college. It was a GEMS trip, and there was actually another team going earlier in the summer that Rihanna Machida was actually a part of. But because of scheduling conflicts, I couldn't go with them. And there was a team, I think, you know, it was probably 6 to 8 people who went, and I couldn't go with them. And the GEMS organizer at the time said, hey, you know, this is when they're going. I know this doesn't fit your schedule. Do you still want to go? Otherwise, you know, we can refund some of the donations that were given. Or there's another time you can go at the end of the summer, but you'll go alone. You'll have no team. You know, I will see you. This was the organizer at the time. He said, I will see you for a few days of the 2.5 weeks. But other than that, you'll be, you know, bouncing between 3 or 4 different ministry opportunities with Brazil-based churches. And in that, I trusted the Lord and I went alone. And I think because of this, my experience was really unique. I served the people there, mainly children, with no other mission team. No one else really spoke great English. My translator was most of the time very broken English, so it was an experience. In my free time, I was largely alone, and I spent that time really mainly reading the Bible. And it also, I think, created moments for me on that trip that were really scary. And there was one in particular where it was probably halfway or maybe towards the second half of the trip, and I was in between ministry opportunities, going from, I think, serving children at like a day camp orphanage school, and then going out to a church retreat in, you know, some kind of remote part of Brazil outside of Sao Paulo. And I had about 36 hours or 24 hours where I was just waiting. And they actually had me stay at what is comparable to like their GEMS office, but in the heart of Sao Paulo, this like LA, Los Angeles, huge metropolis, one of the biggest cities in the whole world. And I was in downtown behind this office building where nobody was, it was the weekend, staying in a room in the back that was disconnected from the building, you know, separated by a courtyard, with a bathroom that was outside of the room, you know, next to it, where I had to go outside if I wanted to go to the bathroom. And I was there, and it was pouring rain. I was all alone. And at night, for a few hours, the power went out. And I remember being really, really scared. And I feel like this whole experience, that trip, was one of the biggest purposings from God in my life to uproot me from a life that I was building on the sand and transplant me to a life built on Him, the rock. You know, what I had come to want for my life was ultimately things that the world told me were the right foundations: wealth, achievement, status, societal impact. But you know, when somebody creates counterfeit money, nobody's going to create a $3 bill. Because a $3 bill isn't real. When somebody counterfeits money, they counterfeit something that is real and something that has value. And Jesus is meant to be our foundation. But the world suggests that we put other things in its place. And that's what I was wrestling with. That's what I still wrestle with, and that's what I will wrestle with until the day I die and I go before the Lord for an eternal relationship with Him. The world creates counterfeits of the reality meant to be experienced directly from Jesus as our rock. We're meant to believe that security comes through our bank statement, all satisfying love comes from our spouse, and all consuming purpose comes from raising children. But to make these counterfeits the foundation of our life will leave us rocking back and forth in the rocky seas. To make them the foundation of our eternity will keep us from enjoying the eternal life we were made for. We were made for what is real, and that's an eternal relationship with Jesus. So I want to invite Rihanna up, and you know, it's a blessing to worship with you here today, but I want to invite Rihanna up to go ahead and share her time of testimony.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Rihanna Machida, and like Lauren mentioned, I'm going to be sharing just a short testimony with you all this morning. First, I just wanted to say my husband Tommy and I have been coming to Catalyst for just about like a year and a half now. We started coming right before the pandemic started and church moved online. However, like through that short time, and even though so much of that short time has been online, like you really have made us feel welcome, made us feel connected, and just really invited us into this family like so quickly and with such open arms, and given us a lot of confidence that God is calling us to be here and invest into this community. So just wanted to say thank you, and we're excited to get to know more of you all. Let's see, when Lauren and Mindy asked me to share this morning, I agreed blindly, not knowing like what God would have me share, but they had said that they had prayed individually and that they both felt like God was saying to ask me, so, they're such a power couple, like how do you say no to that? So I just said yes, but God was so faithful in really helping me put this together, and it's cool because we only really briefly talked about what Lauren would be sharing, but I still feel like God really has given me this, and it goes well, so that's amazing, and I hope that it blesses you all. So one of the main things that God has been teaching me recently is to build my life on Him, of course, but specifically to build my life on who He is rather than what He's done. And what I mean by that is that who He is, like Lauren shared, is the one thing that will never change. Of course, I do believe with all of my heart that He wants to bless us with rich lives that are full of His blessing, but that this really happens out of the overflow of who He is, that He's such a good Father, that He wants to bless us and give us fruitful lives, but ultimately, at the core, like, of my worship to Him, it's who He is, not my life. And so, my devotion to build my life on Jesus isn't actually based on me, it's based on Him. And it's funny because when I was preparing this testimony, God reminded me that when I was little, I actually used to wish for a bad life because I thought that then it would be much easier for me to feel like I needed to be close to Him. I thought, oh, then I'd be so desperate for God that it would be easier for me to come to Him and also stay close to Him. I grew up in the church, and I accepted Christ when I was pretty young, and I think that part of that was just like a childhood naivete and like genuine desire as like a little girl to be close to God. But I think when I really look back on it, it was lacking like that awe for who He is. And lacking like that true wonder and joy of my salvation. And I think that now God is really teaching me that that in and of itself is enough. It makes Him worthy of my whole life, makes Him worthy of all my time, all my devotion, just because of who He is. It was almost like I felt like I couldn't like muster up like enough praise on my own, and I needed external circumstances to push me. Like I said, God is teaching me that He is good and He's God, and that in and of itself is worthy of a lifetime of praise and devotion to Him. I've experienced a lot of high highs and low lows in my life, but my loyalty and devotion to Him isn't dependent on either His blessing in my life or my desperation for Him. My loyalty to Him is dependent on Him being worthy, and that will never change. And so one of the awesome blessings that I actually am getting to live in now is my job. I'm an occupational therapist, and if you don't know what that is, that's okay. I barely know what that is. But OTs, basically what we do is we essentially work with people of all different ages, with all different various types of disabilities to do what they want to do or need to do. But I'm a pediatric OT, so that basically means that I just get to work with kids and get to play with them all day. And so through a long journey of prerequisite classes and working to gain experience in the GRE and applying and yada, 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 taking the licensure exam, God's teaching me that in his endless goodness, he's blessed me far more than I could have asked. This was a dream that I had to become an OT, actually become specifically a pediatric OT, and I've been blessed to see that fulfilled. But I feel like God recently has challenged me to like, well, what is my purpose in that? Yeah, I praise him and dedicate my whole life to his purposes simply and sufficiently because he is God, because he's holy, because he's righteous, and because he's worthy of praise. And so for me, I've been asking the Lord, what does that mean in my job? And I felt like he said, it means that's not about you. And even in this blessing, even in this fulfilled dream of my career, I'm learning that, yeah, it's really not about me. It's really not about my life. What it is about is increasing my capacity for his kingdom. It's not about having a good job. It's not about being successful. It's not about making money. It's about being a good steward of the opportunity that he's given me to help shape and grow my clients and to see them how God sees them. Jesus is worthy of my all, and that includes my job. And the end goal isn't about me having a good, stable, successful life. It's about giving it all back to him because he simply is worthy of that. And so, yeah, I hope that that encourages you all this morning. And I guess my encouragement is just really to go back to the basics. It all starts with praising him simply for who he is, and that will never change. Thank him for saving you and ask him to restore the joy of your salvation in a new and fresh way. And just a couple of verses that I wanted to share as I was putting this together is 2 Samuel 22:4 says, "I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." And Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things." And so, yeah, I just bless you guys with that this morning, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Rihanna. You know, that's really a huge blessing for me, and I know for us all to hear. We're going to close this worship service in our worship set, so I will invite the worship team up. And as they come up, we're also going to have a few young adults in the front, as you know, as we like to do a sort of ministry and prayer time. We want to be, you know, represent this young adult body, and we're very thankful for the opportunity to worship alongside you all, and are blessed to pour out of, you know, who we are made to be in Christ likeness as young adults. So there will be a few young adults here who, you know, if you're seeking prayer or you'd like prayer over you, they'd be more than happy to. Or also, as I'm sensing it, if you have a word or a prayer or something to share with the young adults as well, you know, feel free to come up and share with one of us. So Let me close this in prayer, and we'll enjoy our last worship set. God, thank you for who you are and that you are our foundation. Thank you that you are our foundation, not because of, like Rihanna said, what you give us, but simply who you are. You are worthy because you are Creator God. You're holy. And it's who you are in your nature. So thank you that we can worship here together corporately on this Sunday and enjoy fellowship. Enjoy this worship. May all of our worship, praise, and adoration just be a reflection of your love on us, God. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.